When a retail trader decides to enter a position on NQ or ES, they just click a button.
Right, the order fills instantly.
Exactly, and the market doesn't even blink. But when an institutional trader, or you know, a massive hedge fund, needs to accumulate or distribute thousands of contracts,
they cannot just click a button.
Right. Their sheer size guarantees they will leave a distinct, undeniable footprint in the order flow.
Yeah, the volume they are mandated to move, it completely prevents them from hiding.
Because they have to interact with the limit order book, right?
Exactly. They interact in a way that fundamentally alters the microstructure of the market in that exact moment. I mean, they are the whales, and their wake is entirely visible on the tape.
Provided you know how to process the raw volumetric data, of course.
Yeah, that's the key.
So to survive and thrive in highly leveraged, aggressive markets like ES or NQ, you have to be able to read these volumetric footprint charts. You need to detect that institutional presence in real time, tick by tick.
Moving from guessing to actually seeing.
Right. So in this deep dive, we are breaking down the three exact footprint patterns that reveal these big players. And more importantly, how you can practically apply these anomalies into a concrete day trading setup.
Because you really need structural evidence of conviction. But before looking at extreme tactical anomalies, we have to establish the baseline of aggressive market pressure.
The anatomy of the imbalance itself.
Exactly. The foundational building block of order flow analysis.
So let's establish that baseline for a second. For anyone who has never stared at a raw order book, how does a footprint chart actually measure an imbalance?
Well, it happens when aggressive market orders on one side just heavily outweigh the passive limit orders on the opposing side.
But it's not just a simple comparison of total buying versus total selling in a vacuum, right?
No, not at all. The mechanical reality of how footprint charts measure this is that the ratio is calculated diagonally across the bid-ask spread.
Okay, let's pause right there because that diagonal calculation trips up a lot of people.
Yeah, it really does.
Why is it measured diagonally rather than, you know, straight across at the exact same price level?
It comes down to the mechanics of the two-way auction. I mean, if you want to buy a contract immediately, you cannot pay the bid price.
Because the bid is where passive buyers are waiting.
Right. To execute a market buy order immediately, you must cross the spread and pay the asking price, the ask.
And conversely, if you want to sell immediately, you must hit the bid.
Exactly. Therefore, the footprint chart compares the aggressive market buys executed at the ask price
to the aggressive market sells executed at the bid price, which is one tick below.
You got it. That's why it's diagonal.
Conceptually, it's kind of like a real estate negotiation. If a house is listed for $500,000, the ask, and someone bids $490,000,
no transaction happens.
Right. Nothing happens until someone gets aggressive. Either the buyer aggressively steps up to meet the ask, or the seller aggressively drops down to hit the bid.
That is a highly accurate way to visualize it. The footprint is tracking exactly who is crossing the spread aggressively.
Okay, makes sense.
Now, the industry standard threshold to flag this activity as a true imbalance is a 300% to 400% dominance.
So you're looking for at least 3 to 4 times the volume of aggressive buying versus aggressive selling at that specific diagonal pairing.
Yes. But, you know, a single 300% imbalance is just a skirmish.
Right. On a 1-minute footprint chart, that could just be localized noise, a momentary burst of aggression from a mid-sized player that goes nowhere.
Exactly. We are looking for something much more sustained, which brings us to stacked imbalances.
Stacked imbalances, okay.
3 or more consecutive price levels within a single bar exhibiting an imbalance in the same direction. That constitutes a stacked imbalance.
So it's a deliberate, capital-intensive campaign.
Absolutely, by a major participant.
If I am picturing this visually, is it fair to compare a stacked imbalance to, like, a heavy snowplow driving down a densely packed street?
Oh, I like that.
It isn't just nudging one car out of the way. It's leaving a wide, multi-level path of disruption behind it.
Yeah, it proves something massive just drove through, willing to accept heavy slippage across multiple ticks just to get the job done.
Pushing the market up 3 or more consecutive ticks with 300% dominance takes serious capital.
It tells us something profound about institutional psychology. They have extreme conviction. They are aggressively lifting offers because they need to secure that position immediately.
Regardless of the worsening price, So what does that mean for the structure of the market going forward? Those stacked zones don't just disappear once the candle closes.
No, they represent highly reliable structural support or resistance.
Because the institutional players who initiated that push now have an average entry price somewhere inside that zone.
Precisely. When price revisits those levels later in the session, they have a vested interest in defending their positions.
So they step back in.
Yes, providing massive passive liquidity to stop the pullback. For a retail trader, you are essentially leaning on their capital to protect your trade structure.
That paints a very clear picture of institutions actively driving price action forward. But what does it look like on a footprint chart when that massive snowplow hits a reinforced brick wall?
Well, that introduces our second anomaly, which is oversized imbalances.
Okay. How is that different from a regular imbalance?
If a regular imbalance filters for a 3-to-1 ratio, an oversized imbalance targets extreme, rare discrepancies.
Like what kind of ratio?
We are looking at ratios exceeding the 1,000%, which is a 10-to-1 dominance of one side, or just an unusually large absolute volume of contracts at a single price point.
Wait, let me challenge the logic here for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
If I am watching the ES footprint, and I see a massive sell volume print on the bid, say a 1,000% dominance, 10-to-1 aggressive sellers just hammering the market.
Mm-hmm.
My instinct is that sellers are in absolute control. Logically, shouldn't the price be completely tanking at that moment?
That is the exact paradox that traps retail traders who rely solely on traditional candlestick charts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You see a massive red number, a 1,000% selling imbalance, and assume the market is breaking down. But the tape requires you to look at the consequence of that aggressive volume.
The consequence.
Let's say price approaches a key support level. You see that massive sell volume print on the footprint, but the candle fails to close lower.
It just stops dead and leaves a bullish tail,
mm-hmm,
or a wick.
Exactly. Mechanically, they ran face first into a massive passive limit buyer. This is the concept of absorption.
So the aggressive market sellers threw everything they had at the bid, but they couldn't move the price.
The institution on the other side didn't aggressively sweep the market. They just parked a massive limit order and let the aggressive sellers exhaust themselves completely.
And often, that passive defense is executed using an iceberg order, right?
Very often, yes.
Let's define exactly how an iceberg functions in this scenario so we really understand the mechanics of that trap.
Okay, an iceberg order is designed to conceal true institutional size. You only see the tip of the order on the limit order book.
So if an institution needs to buy 1,000 contracts at a support level,
if they show 1,000 contracts on the bid, they will spook the market. Other buyers will front run them and sellers will just back off.
Right. So their algorithm only displays, say, 10 contracts.
Exactly. And as soon as aggressive sellers hit those 10 contracts, the algorithm instantly reloads another 10 and then another 10 over and over in milliseconds.
Wow. So the sellers keep seeing what looks like weak liquidity, they keep hitting the bid, and they keep getting absorbed.
The aggressive sellers print 1,000% imbalance, but because the iceberg keeps reloading, the price never drops.
But how do you, as a trader reading the tape, differentiate that active absorption from just a general lack of buying interest? Couldn't the price stall just because nobody wants to participate?
A lack of interest looks like exceptionally low volume on the footprint. Thin prints. Absorption looks like massive volume.
So the 1,000% imbalance proves the interest is there.
Right. The aggressive sellers are highly active. The failure of the price to move proves the passive buyer is present. The sellers are now trapped offside.
They are short at the very bottom of a wick.
Yep. And the footprint chart reveals the exact tick where the trap was sprung.
So finding an oversized imbalance that results in absorption gives you a high confidence anchor point. If you are entering a long position based on that bullish wick, you know exactly where to tuck your stop loss.
You place it right behind that oversized print. You are using the footprint to find the optimal asymmetrical risk profile.
Because if that massive passive buyer gets overwhelmed, the iceberg order is depleted and the level breaks.
Your thesis for the trade is invalidated anyway. You place your stop where the institutional defense line is clearly drawn in the sand.
We've covered the aggressive push with stacked imbalances and the passive trap with oversized imbalances. But, you know, market conditions aren't always orderly.
Definitely not.
Sometimes an institution receives a mandate to execute massive size immediately, regardless of the cost or the slippage.
That creates the third major anomaly, the market sweep.
Sweep.
Yeah. When a large institution needs to execute a massive order instantaneously, they bypass the passive limit game entirely.
They just route a market order so large and urgent that it sweeps through the DOM, the depth of market.
Exactly. Instantly consuming all available limit orders across multiple consecutive price levels.
Why would a sophisticated fund accept the horrific slippage that comes with sweeping the DOM? I mean, they're professionals. They know better than to just slam a massive market order.
Usually it's a forced action. Think about a sudden macroeconomic data release, like a CPI print that completely catches a fund offside, or a severe margin call.
Ah, so yeah. In those scenarios, price optimization just goes out the window.
Risk management dictates they must exit or enter the market this exact second. They don't have time to finesse an iceberg order.
Visually, it feels like someone's sprinting down a grocery store aisle. They don't stop to pick up one specific item. They just take their arm and violently sweep every single item off the shelf into their cart in one motion.
Leaving absolutely nothing for the next shopper. Yes. And that execution leaves highly specific visual evidence on the footprint chart. We look for zero prints and thin prints.
A zero print being a price level on the bid or ask side showing exactly zero contracts traded.
Yes.
But wait, how does a price level register zero contracts if the market traded through it?
The price moved so incredibly fast through the DOM that other market participants' algorithms did not have the latency or the reaction time to execute their limit orders.
Wow.
The sweeping order consumed whatever thin liquidity was present and dragged the price up or down multiple ticks in milliseconds.
And a thin print is similar.
Yeah, price levels showing exceptional low volume relative to the instrument's average, maybe just one or two contracts traded before the price gapped.
So why does an empty gap on the footprint matter for a trade setup?
It represents a severe market inefficiency. It is a liquidity void. The foundational premise of the market is the two-way auction process, you know, discovering agreed-upon value.
And a market sweep bypasses that entirely.
Proper discovery of value did not occur at those skipped price levels.
And the market tends to correct inefficiencies.
Markets abhor a vacuum. They have a strong, inherent tendency to return to these empty zones to complete the auction.
Oh, so if you're holding a position, these zero-print or thin-print zones serve as excellent profit targets.
Exactly. The market will often gravitate back toward them to fill in the missing volume.
Conversely, if the market rotates and retests that swept zone from the opposite direction, those voids act as highly transitable zones, right?
Yes, because there was no historical volume transacted there, there's no trapped liquidity, no structural support or resistance to slow the price down.
Price can slice right back through that vacuum incredibly fast.
Looking at the footprint allows you to map the terrain. The stacked imbalances and absorption zones show you where the heavy traffic and roadblocks are.
While the sweeps and liquidity voids show you where the empty highways are.
You've got it.
But, you know, understanding the individual anomalies is critical, but isolated patterns don't make a trading strategy.
No, they don't.
We need to synthesize the theory into a unified execution plan. Let's walk through a practical application using these exact footprints. Let's detail the momentum breakout and retest setup.
Okay, step one is establishing the context. Order flow should never be traded in a vacuum. You must first identify a key structural level.
Like yesterday's high. Or a key volume node, like a POC, the point of control, or a VAH, the value area high.
Exactly.
For absolute clarity, the point of control is the specific price level where the highest volume of contracts was traded during a previous session.
Right.
And the value area high is the upper boundary of where 70% of that session's volume took place. These are heavily defended lines in the sand.
So step two is the breakout itself. Watch the price action as it approaches and breaks through that VAH.
But the critical filter here is that you do not blindly buy just because the price crossed a technical line.
Never. You must look inside the candle. You want to see the breakout supported by a buying stacked imbalance on the footprint. Furthermore, you want to see strong, positive CVD.
CVD standing for cumulative volume delta. It's essentially a running tally of aggressive market buying versus aggressive market selling.
If the CVD is strongly positive during the breakout, it confirms that the cumulative aggressive market buying is actually matching the upward price action.
It confirms institutional money is doing the heavy lifting, not just retail traders, FOMO buying the high of the day.
You are looking for the snowplow. You want to see 300% dominance on the ask, stacking up across three or four ticks, physically driving the price through the VAH.
Because if the price breaks the VAH, but the footprint shows thin volume and negative delta,
meaning passive sellers are actually absorbing the upward move.
That is a false probe. It's a trap.
Right. But if you have the stacked imbalance and the positive delta, you have structural institutional backing.
Now we arrive at the execution phase, which requires immense discipline. You do not chase the initial breakout.
Buying the immediate breakout exposes you to severe drawdown if the market pulls back to test the breakout level. You wait for the pullback.
Specifically, you wait for the price to rotate back down to test the upper boundary of that buying stacked imbalance zone we just identified.
Because the institution has an average entry price inside that stack zone, and they have a vested interest in defending it.
So price pulls back into the top of the stacked imbalance. What is the precise trigger to execute the long entry?
You look for localized signs of rejection on the footprint. As price ticks down into the imbalance zone, you want to see the delta flip back to positive on the lower timeframes.
You want to see aggressive buyers stepping back in, hitting the ask.
This might form a new localized imbalance, or perhaps you see a strong absorption wick, you know, an oversized imbalance on the bid that fails to drive the price lower at the bottom of the candle.
Once that defense materializes in real time, you enter long.
And the risk management is clearly and mechanically defined, tick by tick. You place your stop loss just below the lowest execution level of that initial stacked imbalance zone.
You are placing your stop exactly where the institutional defense fails.
If price slices through the bottom of their stacked imbalance, their conviction is gone, their position is underwater, and the trade thesis is completely invalidated.
It completely removes the emotion and the guesswork. You are using the institutional footprint as both your entry confirmation and your structural invalidation point.
However, there is a crucial caveat regarding the application of these techniques.
Oh, definitely.
Institutional footprint reading relies entirely on having pristine, complete data. It works best on centralized futures markets, specifically NQ, ES, and CL.
Because every single transaction on those instruments goes through the CME matching engine. The tape is complete, unified, and universally broadcast to all participants. You see every true bid and ask.
Yeah, if you attempt to apply these exact volumetric principles to decentralized markets, the data is heavily fractured.
Like in equities, where a massive portion of institutional volume is routed through dark pools or internalized by market makers, meaning it never hits the lid tape in real time.
Or in crypto, where volume is heavily fragmented across dozens of different centralized and decentralized exchanges, you are only ever analyzing a fraction of the true footprint, which severely degrades the reliability of the signals.
The integrity of the order flow data dictates the validity of the setup. But, you know, you can track all of these anomalies, the stacked imbalances, the oversized absorption points, the sweep signals, and analyze your CVD in real time using the motive wave footprint, specifically the volume imprint study.
It gives you the exact granular data required to visualize these microstructure events on NQ and ES.
And you can find more specifics on configuring these setups and the tools to do it at wickwillflow.com.
Processing the numbers at speed does require practice, but once you train your eyes to see the DOM interaction, the mechanical reality of the market becomes impossible to ignore.
So the next time you enter a trade right at a major support level, and you immediately get stopped out in a volatile, violent wick that reverses and goes exactly in your original direction, ask yourself, were you just the victim of bad luck, or were you the aggressive retail liquidity that just got absorbed into an institution's oversized imbalance?